within a period of 8 years, one of the things that we had realized was that you don't get jobs in Finland without knowing someone who knows someone. And I could speak for myself as well. Almost all my jobs in Finland were based on that network and relied on that network.
Hello and welcome back to a new season of Finland Through the Looking Glass. I'm Denise Wall, and I'd like you to join me and my guests as I peel back the surface and take a closer look at the lives, experiences, and insights of Finland's diverse immigrant community. In this episode, we learn why one foreign background resident moved on from Finland and resettled in neighboring Sweden.
This is season two of Finland Through the Looking Glass, a podcast series created and hosted by Denise Wall.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the show. As you can tell, we're not in the cafe ambiance we've come to know and love, and that's because my guest this episode is joining us from Sweden. I'd like to welcome Sonal Makija. She's originally from India, and she's lived in Finland and subsequently relocated to Sweden. But we'll get back to that a bit later on. Sonal, welcome.
Hi, thanks. It's great to be here.
Now, I want to background this conversation by pointing out that the most common reason that anyone from anywhere in the world resettles in Finland, or the most common reasons, I should say, are family ties, work, and study. And that is, of course, according to Migri, the Finnish Immigration Service. Sonal, which of these was behind your reason to relocate to Finland?
I came tagging along with my husband, like a good immigrant Indian woman, as most women travel. So I came because my partner actually got a job offer in Finland, and we moved to Finland in 2012.
Now, I want you to cast your mind back to when you first embarked on that journey to Finland back in 2012. Tell me a bit about your expectations of what life would be like here in Finland and how they actually lined up with your first impressions once you'd arrived.
I think it's extremely difficult to frame it in terms of expectations. I think when we decided to move to Finland, we saw it as an adventure. We didn't see it as a permanent move in any way. So I think our expectations from the country were very different. I also at that point in time knew that I'd like to pursue my PhD. So that made it really quite an easy move. And I think we were just fascinated by its beauty. We were fascinated by the silence. We really enjoyed exploring Finland in the first 2 to 3 years. I started my PhD around the same time, which was also an extremely easy process and very exciting. I wouldn't say it met my expectations, but because I didn't have really any at all expectations from the country. It was an adventure, and it was an exciting adventure.
So that sounds great. And of course, when you embark on a new phase of life, looking at it as an adventure, it's a very upbeat and uplifting and positive experience. I'd like you to open up a little bit and tell me a bit about your journey towards feeling settled in Finland, your new home country.
To a certain degree, it depends on how you describe what being settled is. So if it was, just figuring out how things work in Finland, I think that was an 8-year long process, to be fair, because you learn every day, you learn every year, and you learn through people. It could be the healthcare system, it could be how to navigate a bureaucracy, it could be how to navigate your work situation, it could be understanding the Finnish culture. I think making friends that sort of become family also took its own time, because I think Finland can be quite difficult to find, to find friends, to build a life. It takes a while. And that took a fair amount of time as well, I would think, perhaps a year and a half to 2 years. When it comes to navigating work, I know that can be quite difficult to navigate the working culture in Finland, trying to understand, what is permissible, what is not permissible, when are you supposed to speak your mind, when you're supposed to not. And I think that was just pretty much by doing and learning and knowing the don'ts and the do's.
I think that is an important nuance that we have to recall, because we tend to talk about integrating like it's something that you just do, like you get a certificate saying you're now integrated, but it doesn't work that way. And I really appreciate the fact that you reminded us that this is it's a process. So there are some areas where, in my opinion, there is a lot of learning by doing, but there are also some instances where the process can be facilitated by adequate information. I wonder what your experience was like in terms of the information aspect of figuring out how things work in Finland.
I think that was difficult, to be fair. I think when it came to navigating healthcare and trying to understand how it works, much of it was extremely different from the country I come from, where I rely typically on private healthcare, and the Finnish public healthcare system is different. It was essentially interacting with the system and learning what exactly works. And I think my biggest interaction with the system was when I was pregnant, at least with the healthcare system. It was a difficult and, if I may say, not a very pleasant interaction. Also because of the nature of my pregnancy. So I think there I had to really, really understand how the system works, what works, when you need to call attention to your condition, the kind of noise that you have to make to be heard, even in a pregnancy, which was fairly risky. When it came to the working life, I think one of the things that I realized was when it comes to integrating with working life was the kind of network that you have to build in Finland was something that I had never thought of. And that requires a lot of planning, a lot of thinking, a lot of being active and on all the time. That was, again, something that I learned in the process. There was no signpost for it.
I'd like to point out that there is a fairly significant now and growing population of professionals coming to Finland from India. And I've been checking data from Statistics Finland, which tells me that at the end of 2022, the number of people who located to Finland from India was around 2,400. And compare that to the end of 2018, where the number was just around 900. So nearly a threefold increase over that period. And by the end of 2021, the number of Indian background residents in Finland was a respectable 11,000. Did you make connections in that community, and did you find that it provided a sort of a soft landing or even a safety net in terms of getting used to life here in Finland?
We did start with the Indian community, particularly attending activities that were organized by the embassy, looking at various festivals. But I'd say that since I started my journey with the PhD, we did make a lot of friends in the university. And a lot of my community was actually built around my colleagues in the university, both Finnish and non-Finnish, who were extremely helpful when it came to navigating the system, trying to understand how things work. The Indian community was a community that I actually did dip into more after my child's birth. And that was extremely helpful and was extremely handy at that point in time, by attending festivals, by building a sense of belonging and community in Finland. And I would say it was a combination of both colleagues who became friends and then people we met through the community. And who had lived in Finland for perhaps more than 15 years by then.
This is Finland Through the Looking Glass, a podcast series created and hosted by Denise Wall. If you're enjoying the show, please join in the conversation on social media.
At the top of the show, I mentioned that while you were resident in Finland for a number of years, you've since moved on to Sweden. Lots of conversations in Finland tend to focus on immigration. But there's also a fair amount of movement of people out of the country in terms of emigration. In fact, according to data from Finland Statistics Agency, Statistics Finland, net migration, which is the difference between the number of people arriving in the country and the number leaving, that's been seeing a downward trend in the 10 years or so between 2014 and 2023. And that means that more people have been leaving than have been arriving in Finland. But you wouldn't know that from the sort of social and political debate here in Finland. And I'd like to ask you, Sonal, what was your reason for leaving Finland?
So, it was pretty much the same as the reason that I came to Finland for. So my partner, my partner got a position and a really exciting opportunity, it happened to be in Sweden. And it was just the kind of opportunity he was looking for. And both of us were employed in Finland. But we know this was an opportunity that wasn't going to come by in Finland, which is when we decided to make the move. And that was in September 2020. It was a fairly easy move, to be fair. And I continued to work in Sweden for my Finnish employer. And because it was during COVID, it was fairly acceptable to work remotely. It was a difficult move because I think at the end of 8 years, we were pretty well settled in Finland. You know, we had a community of friends who we could call family. We had a great network, something that you really require after having a child. And yet, I think we both knew that this was an opportunity that wouldn't present itself in Finland.
I'd like to sort of interrogate what you're saying when you say that you knew it was an opportunity that would not present itself in Finland. Could you open that up a bit more for us?
Right. I think it was an international company. And it was a company that was merit-based and skill-set-based employment. It wasn't premised on knowing a language fluently other than, you know, the language of work. And we know that in Finland, opportunities like this do not really open up or aren't, you can't apply for just without having any networks. So that we knew would be really difficult to achieve in Finland because I think within a period of 8 years, one of the things that we had realized was that you don't get jobs in Finland without knowing someone who knows someone. And I could speak for myself as well. I think almost all my jobs in Finland were based on that network and relied on that network.
Now, one question that I had for you, sort of following up on the question about your decision to move from Finland to Sweden, was what kinds of differences did you notice? Is there anything else that struck you as being very different or even very much the same?
I think it was perhaps very much the same. I think what we knew was the rental situation in Sweden was extremely difficult, but we had it easy. So our experience was good. We got our identity cards in the period in which they said we would. So that was extremely easy in comparison to a few other, you know, people we knew who had moved from Finland to Sweden at that point in time. So I think we had it easy there as well. So I think there have been sort of, I would say there are lots of similarities and yet differences, but the employment situation is starkly different. And at one point when we knew we wouldn't be moving back to Finland, I began looking around to see what was available in terms of work. I applied to two jobs, both of which called me for an interview, something that was surprising after the Finnish experience. Both jobs actually went ahead for, you know, the second interview, and it's just that one progressed faster than the other. That was extremely, extremely surprising. And I think that is something that I see is a stark difference even among the community. You know, when we speak to the community and the Indian community in particular, we realize people who come to Sweden to study, mostly come to study, find themselves employed quite easily and quite quickly.
It's very interesting to hear, Sonal, about the differences in terms of how you were able to quite rapidly progress in a recruitment process in Sweden, where presumably you hadn't formed any networks that would help you in your job search compared to what you said about the way you were able to find work in Finland, which was through a network. And I'd like you to think a little bit and perhaps speculate for us as to what you think accounts for those differences in how your recruitment process progressed in Sweden compared to here in Finland?
I think, one, there are truly more international companies in Sweden, all Swedish companies who want to be international companies. I think that's a big difference. They are external looking. They are looking outside of Sweden also in terms of opportunities of business growth. And that helps, I think, when it comes to recruitment, because then they want to diversify. Second, I think because they aren't just looking within their network. It doesn't mean they aren't, but they aren't just with it, looking within their network. They're open to having people from elsewhere. And therefore, you see these positions posted on LinkedIn or other job sites where those who don't have or don't come to Sweden with network can actually apply for positions based on qualifications, based on merit, based on experience. After my experience in Finland, I didn't really expect actually being called, but was very pleasantly surprised by it.
I'd like to follow up with what I guess is the corollary to my previous question, and that would be, what do you think that Finland and perhaps Finnish recruiters and Finnish companies looking for top talent can learn from Sweden's approach to employment and recruitment?
I would think the openness in general, I think... to a certain degree, not being fearful of how would their culture, somehow company culture, or what they somehow understand as Finnish culture would change if they have people from outside the Finnish society or don't belong to Finland. Also an acknowledgement that perhaps culture isn't static, it keeps changing. People adapt to the Finnish way of working, and perhaps Finns could also adapt to another way of working. It means perhaps more decisions, maybe less consensus-based approach, and yet democratic. I wouldn't say there's any particular culture that you can ever establish, because I think we're all different, and I don't think all my Finnish friends are the same. So I think this idea of the cultural monolith somehow needs to be destroyed.
Now, the argument that we hear, especially from political parties that are right, on the rightward end of the spectrum, very often they point to Sweden as an example of failed immigration and failed immigration policy. There's a lot of coverage of crime, and I think a lot of it, I think, is gang-related crime in certain parts of Stockholm and so on. And the idea is that, you know, Finland wants to recoil from that because that's what you get from immigration, from uncontrolled immigration, the argument goes. How do those concerns feel to you as someone who is now a resident of Stockholm? Do they feel justified?
I think I would frame these concerns as what political parties seek to bolster their argument as to why there shouldn't be any immigration, because what they don't point out are the positive fallouts of immigration. For that, that's a lived experience. So they can't exactly, or rather they don't want to seek that out, or they don't want to acknowledge that, because there are lots of positive stories about Sweden. There's a lot of good to be said about the Swedish work culture and how open it is to immigrants. And I think that is something that perhaps the current political system in Finland doesn't want to acknowledge or seek out. So I think you will always look for arguments and evidence for the arguments that you seek to support.
When you speak about the positive outcomes of immigration, if we look at national competitiveness, so this is something that Finns are always seeking after. It's one of the holy grails of various persuasions of politicians here in Finland. Sweden is a highly competitive economy. Of course, we know that it is twice the size of Finland. It's got more of these global legacy brands and companies operating. But still, I would argue, based on my limited research and knowledge of the subject, that one of the reasons that Sweden is so competitive is because it is outward looking, and it is because it is more open and willing to embrace international talent in order to drive that competitiveness.
I would completely agree with that argument, because I think that is something that you really see in Sweden and the Swedish working culture, where it is extremely external looking. And by external, it doesn't necessarily mean just externally from the perspective of international, but also could be external to your own company, to your own organization, to learn what other organizations are doing better than you. So I think that's generally a culture that you see, that they want to learn from the external world. And I think much of this diversity is also extremely helpful in bringing insights, especially when you go to different markets, because you do need to have a good cultural understanding, a social understanding of those markets. And having people from those countries is, of course, the easiest way to actually bring those insights.
This is Finland Through the Looking Glass, a podcast series created and hosted by Denise Wall. If you're enjoying the show, please join in the conversation on social media.
Now, one of the things that's been the topic of heavy debate here in Finland is the fact that the new government is considering a bunch of measures that they believe will ensure that immigrants get into the workforce and stay in the workforce. And one of the more controversial measures that they've been talking about introducing, and I think steps have already been taken to sort of canonize that into law, is a rule that if you are employed as an immigrant and you lose your job, you have 3 months in which to find another job, or else you will face the risk of having to leave the country. And for many, it seems quite draconian. Now, my understanding is that this is a rule that already exists in Sweden. Why is it that that does not seem as dramatic in Sweden as it does in Finland?
To be fair, I didn't know that there was an existing rule like that in Sweden. But having said that, it is, I would say, is extremely easy for most immigrants to find, including those who come to study in Sweden, to finish university and find a job in Sweden quite quickly in comparison to Finland. So perhaps that could be the reason why that we don't hear too much about it. It doesn't mean there isn't criticism when it comes to the manner in which migration work permits are handled in Sweden, the way in which international scholars who work in Sweden and the kind of visa permissions or residence permits are provided to them also are criticized heavily, because they feel that more and more academics from Swedish universities are moving to another university, most likely the US, where it's far easier to get long-term positions. So I think there has been criticism, but I think what has been less difficult for most outside of academia, at least in the corporate world, has been that most people get jobs quite easily and enter work quite easily in Sweden. And that's different from Finland. So perhaps that could be one reason why we don't hear about it as much. But again, this is my conjecture. I've lived in Sweden for 3.5 years. I can't claim to know everything about Sweden. I would think I've also benefited from the fact that I lived 8 years in Finland and understood how the Nordics works. I've studied in Finland, so I've also had that in my CV, which has then perhaps helped me and in getting my job, getting the next job in Sweden.
Yeah, I think those are fair observations, and good that you make that caveat, Sonal. Now, we're about to wrap up the conversation, and I think one question that it would be remiss of me if I were not to ask you this question, have a think about it. Could you ever see yourself returning to Finland at some point in the future?
I would love to. That's certainly, that is something I'm certain about. I mean, would there be opportunities for me to do what I'm currently doing in Finland is something that I still doubt. So yes, I mean, if it's just a matter of desire, then yes, I would love to come back. But if it's whether there would be opportunities of work and progress, career progression, then I'm still doubtful of that.
Fair enough. We have a bit of a hot potato question here on Finland Through the Looking Glass, where we sort of pass questions along from guest to guest. And We have a question for you from a previous guest, who is Fatima Shaoubi, a marketing expert here who relocated to Seinäjoki, of all places, from Paris. And here is her question for you.
So I'd like to ask the next guest what Finn actually either inspired you or helped you or simply listened to you while in Finland.
Allow me to modify that to ask you what Finn or Swede, if any, has helped you or inspired you or just given you their air when you needed it.
I'm not sure whether the Finnish person would want to be named. So I think it happens to be a colleague, an ex-colleague, and a very good friend of mine who's a cyclist and an academic. Yeah, who's been one of the most inspiring Finns I've met as a human being, and extremely talented, with a lot of kindness, with always providing the listening ear, always helping in how to navigate the Finnish system. With a very healthy dose of humor and criticism. I think if he hears this, he knows who he is.
What about Swedes?
Unfortunately, not yet. So it clearly means I need to build a life in Sweden. I haven't done that quite successfully, you know, since integration, Dennis, is a process.
I'd like you now to pose a question for the next guest who will be on our podcast.
So my question to the next guest would be, knowing what you know of Finland today, what would you do differently when you first land in Finland?
That's a good one. All right, Sanal, thank you so much for your time. I wish you all the best on your journey in Sweden, your integration journey, and your life journey in general, in Sweden and wherever else life may take you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Dennis, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak.
Maybe we will find that there's now an uptick in people heading over to Sweden. But and on that note, we've come to the end of this episode of Finland Through the Looking Glass. If you like the podcast, please remember to like, share, subscribe, and rate the podcast on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for joining us, and talk to you soon.
You have been listening to Finland Through the Looking Glass, a podcast series created and hosted by Denise Wall. Production on this episode was handled by myself, Travis Glosso. If you enjoyed the podcast and want to join in the conversation, please look for Finland Through the Looking Glass on social media. Join us next time for more intimate and eye-opening conversations from Finland's quiet minority.